Okay, good afternoon. So the plan for today is to introduce the concept of a function. And the idea here is that this 19th century drive to put all of mathematics on a footing of set theory, well, in pretty much every branch of mathematics, functions are central. And so one needs a concept of function. And so we're trying to get an idea of how to put functions into the framework of set theory. Let me just start with a couple of examples of functions, and then we'll see how those fit into the set theory framework. And let me just give you a hint. The idea is that it's the graph. It really is the way to think about it. But in calculus or analytic geometry, one looks at functions usually by a formula for a function. And often you're working in the reals, so this will be from R to R. And you might have something like f of x is equal to, say, x squared minus 4. Okay, so that would be a formula. And the other way that one often looks at such a function is by graphing it. And in fact, that's closer to what we're going to do with it in terms of relations or the graphs. Okay, so that's so I guess the roots are at plus or minus 2, and it goes down to minus 4, so it looks like this. Okay, and when I draw that, I want to just think a little bit explicitly about exactly what I'm drawing. And so this graph here, that is a different color of the function, these points here that I'm graphing, are the pairs of points in the plane. So this is the set of all equals the graph of f. And it's also just the set of pairs of points in the plane, x, y, okay, which I have just drawn in red. And those are exactly the ones that have the form x, comma y, let me just write that, where y is equal to this formula that I wrote before, x squared minus 4. So that's, of course, how the two are related. But the nice thing to observe here is that now we have, in this graph, we have a subset of a set cross itself. And that's the kind of thing that a relation is. So this looks a lot like a relation, and that's the way that we're going to think about it. Let me give one more example before writing out the definition. So another example. And these are called, this also gives me the chance to introduce this notation. This is a sequence, is a function from the natural number to something. So I'll do an example of that. So a sequence is a function from the natural numbers to some other set. And let me give an example of a function from the natural numbers to itself, which will be a sequence. So e.g. from n to n might be the sequence, let's say p for prime, p of n, and I'll just take it to be the nth prime number. So that means, for example, that by P of 1 is just going to be 2, et cetera. P of 2 is going to be 3, P of 3 is going to be 5, and we just keep going. And again, if I wanted to, I could graph that. It's a little bit less compelling, but I can. And so I have the natural numbers, 1, 2. It's not going to get very many if I draw it that way. Give myself a little more space. So 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, like so. And so then the graph is going to be when I plug in one, I'm going to get a two there. And when I plug in two, I'm going to get a three there. And when I plug in three, I'm going to get a five. And when I plug in four, I'm going to get a seven. It looks more linear than it should be. But anyway, that's how I would graph that. Right. Okay. And once again, this graph is going to be, maybe I'll try the same thing I did before, put the graph itself in red. And it's going to be the set of pairs, n comma m, so that, and let me just to be as similar as possible to what I have above, this is in n squared, and then my rule is going to be that m is the nth prime. Right, so that's how I would graph it. And so now what I want to do is take that graph a little bit more literally and turn it into a relation. Okay, so that's gonna be the point. So definition. A function. Well, let me get my quantifiers in. If we have two sets, A and B are sets. Then a function from A to B let me call it F is first of all a relation from A to B. So remember that makes it a subset of A cross B. I'm going to give it two different ways of expressing this. So the way that it's given in the text is with two properties. So property one is going to be that the domain is all of A. Okay, so that means that every element of A is related to something. And two, if I have an element of A and two elements of B with the element of A related to both of them, then they're actually the same. So if A is in A and B and C are in B with A related to B, so let me say that AB is in my function, my relation F, and AC is also in my relation F, then in fact, B and C are the same. Okay, so those are my two conditions, and that's it. That makes it a function, if I have such a relation. And let me just write out another way to say this equivalently. A relation from A to B is a function if and only if okay, so another way to say this is whenever I have an element of A here, so for all A in A, okay, so can anyone see, there's a special quantifier that we use that is ideally suited to this. So whenever I have an A in A, what can I say about a B in B so that A is related to B?
The B has to be unique.
Exactly, great. And remember that was one of our, that was the less often used quantifier that we have. So there exists unique, and that is what we need. So there exists, it's gotta be there. That's gonna give us this, the fact that A is in the domain, and it has to be unique. That's gonna give us the second one, okay? That there's only one. Okay, so there exists a unique B and B. Okay, with the property that we want, and that is, of course, that A comma B is in, oops, I forgot to give it a name. I should always give everything a name. A relation F from A to B, right, is in my relation F, okay? Okay, any questions about that? So that's the definition. And let me just, let's go back and look over these things. So these were supposed to be functions. This is what we were supposed to be modeling. And are they, okay? So if we look at this one, is this a function? Well, whenever I take a value x down here, there's at least one x up above, so it's in the domain. And in fact, there's exactly one. So it's unique, okay? So that's so that one worked. Here also, whenever I look at a number n, there's exactly one nth prime, right? 7 and 11 can't both be the fourth prime. Just one of them is. Okay, so there's always exactly one. All right, so these are both examples. And let's see, maybe I'll just write it out as a... let me just try a couple more just so that you get a little bit of a feel. So let's try one on just a finite set. So example... and one way to give relations, of course, is by writing out the directed graph. So by directed graphs, so let me try two of them. So I'm going to take a directed graph that's going to be a relation from the set 1, 2, 3 to the set ABC, and I'm going to write two of them. I'm going to write one, and I'm going to write its inverse. So two separate ones. But they're just, one is the inverse to the other. So if I take the one that takes that has the arrow from 1 to A, and also an arrow from 2 to B, and also an arrow from 3 to B, and I take its inverse, so that goes exactly the opposite direction, A to 1, and B to 2, and B to 3. So this is a relation from the set 1, 2, 3 to the set ABC, and of course the other one goes the other way. Relation from ABC to 1, 2, 3. And can anyone see which of these is a function?
The first one from 1, 2, 3 to ABC is a function.
Correct. Okay. So did everyone see that? So so the one goes to exactly one thing, the two goes to exactly one thing, the three goes to exactly one thing. So this one is a function. And this one is not a function. The A goes to exactly one thing, that's fine. But the B goes to two different things, right? And so that's bad. And the C goes to nothing. So that's also bad, right? So we need both that each one goes to something and that they go to at most one. So they have to go to exactly one. Each one has to go to exactly one. And that doesn't happen here. Okay. So any questions about the definition of a function?
Wait, for the second one, why does C have to go through something? Is right. It because domain F equals A? And
yes.
Domain F doesn't completely equal A in that
correct.
One?
Correct. That's okay. Exactly right. That's exactly the problem. Yeah. So the domain here is just that these A and B, right? It does not include C. So that one kills that, and so this that kills the one, and if you phrase it the second way, it's this exists. So there should exist something there. Okay, and actually, there's another way to think about this. If I do it in a graph, it's called the vertical line test. All right, if I look at a graph of a function, I have to, in every vertical line, I have to find exactly one point. That's the rule, right? Similarly here, in every vertical line, I have to find exactly one point, okay? So the graph of a relation is the graph of a function. if it intersects every vertical line at exactly one point. Okay, so those are the definition. All right, and as usual, we have a definition and a definition playlist, so we can write down some claims and turn them into proofs get some practice doing that. So let's do that. And let's look at the examples that are over here since we have them and just use it. So claim. All right, let's start with this first. I didn't number them. Let me number them. We call this one example one and this one example two, since I have them there. All right, and so let me claim that example one is a function, and then I'm gonna make a second claim that its inverse is not a function, okay? So we'll do both of those. So claim example one is a function. And I'll write that out a little more carefully in a second. That is f, is equal to the set of all x comma y. So just copying what I have there from my graph, because again, we're really just identifying the function with its graph. Okay, so that's supposed to be a function. Actually, maybe I'll just mention a little bit of notation before finishing this claim. Before proving the claim, let me add some notation. Because it's handy. The notation for functions. So if we have a relation, which is a function, so if f is a function, from a to b, we write, well, it's a relation, right? So we might have elements of the relation, right? So it would be like this, or equivalently. So this is what we already had. We sometimes wrote it as a, f, b. This is actually not so common with functions. So we kind of shifted the f back one. Usually you shift it back even further for functions. And this is the more standard notation. It says that f of a is equal to b. So that's the way you often write it, okay? So that's the, and that agrees with the notation that was used here and also here, okay? So that's the standard notation for functions. Okay, So maybe I'll add one more bit of notation that the text uses. I don't feel that it adds a huge amount, but the text uses it and I don't want you to get confused about it. So let me just note a codomain for a function. It is just any set that contains the image, the range. So if I were to take this example up here, this example, which is a function, what would be the a codomain for that? Is that clear?
So would the codomain be a b?
Yeah, so a b is a codomain, and so is a b c. That's all this is saying. I can make it bigger and I'm still going to call it a codomain.
So would the codomain or the range be contained in codomain?
Yes. That's correct. Okay. That's exactly right. And yeah, and it's, I'm not a huge fan of this notation, but it is what's used in the text. The key thing is that it's a codomain. Any function has lots of codomains, and it's the range. There's just one range, okay? It's just the,
yeah. So a codomain of that first one could be like A, B, C, D.
Mm-hmm.
Or it just has to, okay. It can be any, like infinitely big. But
exactly. There are lots of possibilities. Okay. Anything that contains A, B. Right, just any set that contains A, B, this one. Okay, I find it a slightly confusing and not terribly helpful notation, but the text uses it, so there it is. Okay, there's some notation. On the other hand, this notation is extremely helpful, this one here. So this will use a lot. So f of a is equal to b. Okay. All right, so those are some notation, and now there's a claim in front of us. So let's try to prove that claim. All right, so proof of claim, and as usual, we will sketch a proof. So sketch of proof. Okay, so we're trying to show that it is a function. So there are two things that we need to show. We need to show that domain is all of R, and and there's a unique thing that's related to every x. Okay, so sketch a proof. Let's see. So note the vertical line test works. Okay, so that's just understanding what's going on. It seems to be a function. So good, so that we're in good shape. All right, so then let's try to prove it. So the logic of trying to prove that it's a function. All right, so we need to do two things. The domain statement and then the uniqueness statement. So logic, so we need to assume, for the domain, we need for all x in R, we have there exists a y and x comma f of let me use the f of notation because I just introduced it. So x comma y, so we have f of x equals y, and for the second uniqueness condition. We need for all f of x equals y and f of x equals z, we have y equals z, right? So those are the things we need to check. So is that clear? So I kind of scrolled it off, which I probably shouldn't have. But anyway, that is from the definition of the function, right? So we have the two things we need to check. Okay, right. Okay, so then let's just try the proof here. So let's see. So you just have to sort of think through what you need to do. So how do we show that there is some y? Okay, well, we have our function up here. We have our set here, and we have a formula for it. Okay, and that gives us the y. Okay, so this is fairly straightforward. It just tells us what the y is, all right? So for ideas, for the domain, let me call this 1 and 2. So for one, for all x, choose, so there exists, that means we get to choose. So we'll choose y equals x squared minus 4, and we're done, right? The formula just gives us what that y is, okay? So that's the advantage of having a formula. And then two, if x squared minus 4 is equal to y and x squared minus 4 is equal to z, well, then they're the same. Okay, so those are the things we need to check. So they're both quite straightforward in this case. It's mainly keeping track of the logic of what it is you need to do. So any questions about the sketch there before we just try to write that out a little more carefully? Okay, so proof of claim. If X is in R, hence Y equals X squared minus 4 is in R, and F of X is equal to Y, so the domain is all of R. For L2, I'm not sure when that was asked because I missed it there. There's a question there in the chat. The second uniqueness. Condition. It's C-O-N-D. It meant condition. I'll just write it again, but yeah. Yeah. Okay. Right. The domain of F is equal to R. We're done with that. And then assume that F of X is equal to Y, and F of X is equal to Z. Hence, Y is equal to X squared minus 4, which is equal to Z. And so we're done. QED. Okay, so it's a straightforward check. And okay, any questions about that? All right, so then what about that it's not a proof if we take the inverse claim? The inverse to one is not a function. And let me just write that out. So G is equal to the set of, well, the inverse. So we're going to switch them. So we're going to get Y comma X in R squared. Let me just copy it in R squared. And then everything else is the same. So Y is equal to X squared minus 4. Okay, so to say that something is not a function, what do we need to do?
Could you prove by contradiction or?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
So for domain, all of X and R, there isn't a unique Y, or
yeah. So actually, so there are two things that we could try to do, right? Because so if we go back to the definition here, I guess I should have written the word and, because that is of course what was meant here. So let me add the word and. There are two things, right, that have to be true. One and two. And if we're trying to get that it's not and, then it's or, then that's not or not, right? So I can find a counterexample to either one or two, right? Either one would suffice, right, to get what we have. And now if I look at this particular function or non-function, that's the function. But now when I turned it around, it looks like this, right? If I switch the role of X and Y, which one fails, one or two?
Two.
Right. And why does that one fail?
Because there exists two solutions that aren't equal to one another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like at zero or at five or something like that. Right. But what about one? Does this one hold?
I would say it doesn't because it the function doesn't contain the whole real line.
Right, exactly. So if I try to plug in a number like minus 10 over here, then there are no solutions. So it has both problems, right? So there are points that have no solutions, and there are points that have too many solutions. They have more than one solution. So it has both problems. And you can see both of those by looking at the vertical line test. The vertical line test says that you want exactly one. If you have zero, then that's a problem with one here. If you have more than one, like here, then that's a problem with two, right? So they both give us problems, and either one would suffice to prove that this is not a function. So we can do either way, right? Whichever one seems easier to us.
Okay. For the claim, should that be y, not y squared?
Yes. Thank you. Okay. I should have copied exactly what I had and I didn't. Thank you. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, right. So so either show so we found two things. We found that if we take a number that's sufficiently negative, so say minus 12 has no solutions. So minus 12 is not in the domain of G. Or because again, this is the negation of an and, so it's an or, show that there are two solutions. And maybe zero will be the easiest one. So if I take a zero, and actually, maybe this is easy. What are two solutions at zero? I lost my graph, but
four and negative four.
X squared needs to be four, right?
Oh, I see. So two and negative two.
Exactly. That's right. So that's right. So this one will be negative two, and this is going to be two. Right. This will be. So there are two solutions, and so there are two and zero minus two. Okay. So actually, which one of those looks easier? We can do either one, right? So we want to choose the easiest.
I would say the second one seems
pretty easy. I agree. And mainly because we've already got the answer. I've already found these. Going around showing that there aren't any solutions, that sounds like more work, right? So it's going to be easier to just use the one where we've already got two solutions and we can just use them. So let's just do that. So this is so this looks easier, so let's use this. Okay, all right, so then let's just turn this into a proof. So proof, so we have zero, comma two, and zero comma minus two are both in G. 280. All right, so any question about how you prove that things are or are not functions?
For the proof, do you not have to state that, like, assume that G is a function, and then, like, but it has these two, like, plugging in zero, we get y equals, or we get x equals negative two and two, thus contradiction, or
Could, but I think this is sufficient. So what we've shown here is that it fails to satisfy two here. You might want to add a little bit to make sure that this is true, that they are both in G. So you could, I guess, add, if you wanted to, since I just plug them in and I get zero is equal to two squared minus four, and zero is equal to minus two squared minus four. But what I don't have to do is tell you how I got those, okay? I don't have to go through and solve it and say, here's how I got zero, two, and zero minus two. Once I've got them, I've got them, okay? And however that worked, I can now just tell you those and you can check there. Okay. All right. Okay, so that's checking that things are and are not functions. And let me just do a few more examples. So there are some special classes of functions. So let's try those. So example, the identity function is a special function. So that's always there. So if A is any set, then the identity function is just a set of all pairs A comma A, because A is an A. And this is a function from A to A called the identity. On A. Okay, so that's the that's one example. We saw this relation before. What else? What other property does this relation have? Do you remember that?
Reflexive.
Mm-hmm. And it has two others.
Transitive and symmetrical.
Yeah, it satisfies all three of those. That makes it an equivalence relation, right? So this is also an equivalence relation because it satisfies all three of those other ones. Okay, so this is one that happened to have that property. So actually, let me just try this. Just another fun little example of a proof, which is what we're trying to do here. So let's prove that this is the only function which is also an equivalence relation. So a claim: if f is a function from A to A, and F is also an equivalence relation on A, then F is in fact the identity function. Okay, let's see. So we have that. So first of all, I guess we just observed that it's at least this is an example. So understand, we see above it's an example. Okay, so at least it has both properties. All right. So then let's work on the logic here. So the logic. Right, so we have that these two things are equal, right? And so in trying to prove that these two things are equal, what will we have to prove?
That they're contained within each other.
Exactly. Yeah. The key thought here is that we're trying to put all our math in terms of set theory. So everything is a set. That's this 19th century concept. Everything is a set. And so this is a set, that's a set. And to show that sets are equal, you show containment both directions, right? So that's what we're going to have to do. So we need to show that F is contained in the identity and F contains the identity, right? So those are the two things that we need to show, all right? Okay, and so let's try to do that. So ideas. So can anyone see either direction? So I guess I should have said what we're assuming. So we're assuming F is both an equivalent and a function. So I can use either function properties or equivalent relation properties to show this these two things. So if I want to prove this one, sorry, that's not the one I said, this one, that the identity is contained in my function f, can anyone see a property of either an equivalence relation or a function that would guarantee that that a comma a is always there?
If f is a equivalence relation, then it's
reflexive,
yeah. And so right. a is in is an element of f.
Exactly, right? So that's exactly the argument that we want. Idea for this containment, since F is an equivalence relation, F is reflexive. Oops. So for all A and A, we have a comma a in f. All right, so that's gonna give us one direction. Okay, and what about the other direction? So if I have so here's my graph. I've got this part of it in there. How do I know there's nothing else?
Because of the second property of functions?
Exactly. That's exactly right. The second property of functions, you can say if there were anything else here, then that would violate my my vertical line test, right? So that's exactly what I want. So use the second property of functions. Since f is a function, if I have f of a is equal to b and f of a is equal to c, b is equal to c, right? That's what the second property of functions tells us. But I know that f of a is equal to a from above. Okay. So I'm going to make use of that first one. Okay, so that's a sketch. Let me write that out now as a proof. So proof. Okay, so first we will assume that f is a function and an equivalence relation. So assume a is a set. F is a function. From A to A, and F is an equivalence relation. Okay, that's our assumption. And then if we have little a in A, then since F is reflexive, we have A comma A is in A, so I sub A is contained in A. And that A should be in F. There we go. Right, so I sub A is contained in F. So that's the one direction. And then we want to go the other direction. If some other A comma B is in, say B comma C is in F, with B not equal to C, okay? Then we have B comma B is in F by above also. By the second property of functions, C is equal to B, which is a contradiction. So I guess I just proved a contrapositive, hence F is contained in IA. Okay, any questions about that structure? Okay, so maybe the last thing I would like to do, I just have a few more minutes, is to do some examples that come from the material we were just doing, which are the numbers mod various, so the integers mod various numbers, okay? And try to get maps functions between those. And with that will come one more bit of notation, which is a handy little notation. Let me just, it's a name, basically. So we say that they, a function is not well defined. So an attempt to define a function using a relation that isn't a function is called a not well defined. Let me just give you some examples of that. Actually, it turns out to be linguistically helpful to have, but let me just try a few examples of functions and non-functions. All right, so I'll try a couple that and indicate which way they go, and then you can try some. So let me try one which is a function. So examples, let's take a map from a Z3, to Z6. Okay, and I want to define a map. Take a F of, let me use the text notation here, which is a little bit, we need a notation because right now we would write elements of Z3 and Z6 the same way, so let's not do that. Let me write X bar for an element of Z3. So these would be 0 bar, 1 bar, 2 bar. I can write them all out. And X with a brace, square braces, because the text does this, for elements of Z6. It's just because I have to have different names for them. And before we were using the same ones, and I don't want to do that. Okay, so I'm just going to use brackets for the 6 and bar for the 3, just so that I have an intro. So if I'm trying to define this direction, let me write F of X bar is equal to 2 times X box. Okay, And let me try another one. So this is example one. And example two, let me try to get a map from Z3 to Z6. Let me call it G, where I take a G bar is equal to, G of X bar is equal to X box. Okay, so I'm almost exactly out of time. Can anyone see which of these is not well-defined and which one is a function? Let me do, I'll start drawing two things, and when someone tells, figures out, they can write it in the chat there. So one thing I can do is I can try to draw the directed graph, right? So the directed graph from one bar, two bar, three bar, one bar, two bar, oh, sorry, zero bar, one bar, two bar, to these six in braces. Same thing. So what is this telling me? So if I look at the number one, it says that I take the bar here, zero bar, I double it, so that gives me a zero, and then I put a brace around it, so I go there. So far, so good. And it says I take the one, and I double it, and I put a brace around it, so it goes there, so that's fine. And I take the two, and I double it, and put a brace around it. Okay, but I could have written the zero differently, right? This is also equal to, what's another something that I could put something bar for the zero? What's another element of that equivalence class?
Three bar?
Yeah, so that's the same as three bar. So I could have taken three and double it and put it, so that would be six bar, but that's also equal to this, so that's okay, right? So I get the same arrow. If I try the same thing down here, if I take a zero and go to zero, but I could also take a three, and that's not going to go to the same thing. That's going to go to three, right? And one is going to go to one, and four is going to go to four. So I'm going to get a graph that looks like this, right? So which of those is a function?
The top one, the one.
Right, number one is a function, and this is not a function. Okay, so it's not well-defined. Let me just try one more formula, and then I'll turn off the recording. Another way to say this is that f is equal to, I want to write it as a relation, right? So it's a set of all things, x bar comma 2x brace, such that x is some integer. And g here is the set of all pairs, x bar comma x brace, such that x is an integer. So that's a little bit cleaner way of writing it out as a relation. So then you can go through and do what I just did try to understand whether it's well-defined. Maybe I'll put some examples like that. All right, so I am out of time, and I will stick around.